As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
Welcome to Revision Media, folks. I'm Paul Stevenson, and this is the 9th of January, 2020. Welcome to the show, and a Happy New Year to you all. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'm going to try, difficult as it may be, not to interrupt in this little speech by Trump here. I mean, it's a shame, you know, that Trump is so in the pockets of the Zionists, because there's a lot I like about Trump, but it has to be said, he's about as Zionist and pro-Israel as you can get, and it's a real shame, because when he's up there talking like this, I mean, it's hard to like the guy. But you know, straight away, there's something to comment on there. As long as he's president, Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. But it's okay if Israel has numerous nuclear weapons. Our only great ally there, the only great democracy out in the Middle East there. It's all right for them. It's okay for the Americans to share their intelligence with the Israelis. But that's a very one-sided little partnership there, because I doubt there's very much intelligence being shared from the Mossad to the CIA. Except for the CIA plants, who are actually Mossad operatives themselves. Probably, I would imagine, in the deep state, it would be difficult to tell the difference between a CIA and a Mossad operative. But you can be guaranteed that there will be plants by the Mossad in the CIA as well, sharing information and having as much intel on the United States as possible. But, as I say, it's a pretty blurred area, because America's foreign policy and its military-industrial complex largely dances to the tune of Israel anyway. So, yeah, so Trump doesn't want Iran getting any nuclear weapons, but it's okay for Israel to have, I don't know, how many have they got? Enough is the answer. If they have one, that's more than enough. It's more than they need or should have.
Good morning. I'm pleased to inform you the American people should be extremely grateful and happy.
Oh, yeah, the American people over there, you should all be so grateful. Grateful and happy. But you should be grateful, first and foremost. For what, Donald? For what? Because there's no big war as a result of your reckless actions on behalf of Israel. So the war hasn't happened. It's de-escalated a bit. Until the next time Israel tells you to do something. Or the next time Israel decides to just, even if they even bothered informing you until after the fact. Until the next time Israel decides to do something to provoke Iran. Because make no mistake about it, folks, they want their war. And it's sad to say, but I think they will eventually get their war, those mad maniacs out there. Zionist scumbags. And those neocons. Oh, those big scary guys, aren't they? Always waging war. So I wouldn't put it past Israel. Let's remember, these are the same people that brought down the Twin Towers and blamed that on Muslims. So they could reduce the Middle East to rubble ever since. These people are capable of anything, including taking out a high up military target in the United States that the Mossad could carry out and blame in Iran or whatever. If they want the war, which they do, expect more provocation and expect them to do something which will unite the American people like 9/11 did, and to really scare the American people. This is how it always works, isn't it? To go to war with Iran, because they want their war. But we should be grateful. We should be grateful that Iran haven't retaliated. That same Iran that was minding his own business for the last 300 years and hasn't fired a shot at anybody. Okay, it's had its own problems with Iraq, but how is that the interest, how is that the business of the United States or anybody in the West, quite frankly? Iran and nobody in the Middle East is a threat to the United States or anybody in Europe, actually. Particularly not the United States, when you've got to go the whole way across the Atlantic to actually fire, to reach anything that they could destroy. I mean, yeah, they could do it domestically by their plants and everything else. But this, idea that Iran is a threat to the United States is just total Zionist propaganda BS. The whole purpose of the Americans being out there is doing the bidding of Israel largely, and the military-industrial complex, not for any strategic interest of Israel. So spare us, Donald, your BS, because America is wise to it. America has woken up to this BS, and you ran on getting out of these wars, on these democracy-spreading wars, nation-building. Yeah, nation-building after you've... nation-rebuilding after you've reduced them to rubble. So this idea that the Americans should be grateful. Grateful for what? That a non-existent threat in the first place decided that it's in the world's best interest and in everybody's interest to do a little face-keeping exercise and not actually kill any Americans, despite the fact that it was one of the most serious and profound provocations and acts of war that you could possibly imagine. I mean, that is the equivalent of killing Mike Pence or something like that, what they did to the second in command there over in Iran. I mean, how is that making the world a safer place? How is that making Americans safer? It's so counterintuitive, it's just laughable. And everybody knows it. What I'm saying here, apart from a few morons in Fox News, it's just obvious. What they did was a massive, massive provocation to Iran, which would normally and could normally start a war. Presumably that's what they wanted, or I should say Israel wanted. Because it's not in the interest of the United States or any of their NATO allies to start a war with Iran. And I will exclude Tucker Carlson, I'm glad to say, from Fox News. The left, of course, have rounded on Trump. Usually the left and right unite when it comes to American aggression in the Middle East. But this was such a coup, this whole thing with Trump in the middle of it. It just serves both ends of the Jewish spectrum. On the left, it gives them something to use against Trump, his recklessness. Plays right into the sort of stuff that they're constantly talking about Donald Trump, his emotional nature, his recklessness, that he's not fit to be president, that he's a danger to America and the world. So this will be further ammunition for them in addition to this impeachment stuff as we come into the year with election year. On the right, it serves the interests of the Zionists, the far right end spectrum of Jewry. Zionism and Bolshevism is basically dominates all of our political and cultural discussions today. Because the West was stupid enough to allow Jews into the West and gain the power they have, both with their Bolshevik agenda that is known as political correctness, and with Zionism, which is basically causing perpetual war, particularly in the Middle East region. Anyway, let's see if we can get a bit further with this speech.
No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime. We suffered no casualties. All of our soldiers are safe, and only minimal damage was sustained at our military bases.
Yeah, Donald, because the Iranians actually aren't a bunch of maniacs like your handlers. You're not keeping peace out there. You're not making Americans safer. Iran, if they wanted in that strike, they showed that they have precision missiles. Israel should take note of that, by the way. Israel's a small place. Those are pretty precise little attacks. So they did. They might not have killed any Americans because they don't want to start a war, and they don't want to be having the American war machine descend on it. Even if they won that war, they pretty much Iran and its people will be obliterated in the process. But yeah, I mean, it's with thanks to Iranian restraint. Because they could have killed Americans if they wanted. They've got the weaponry to do it. As I say, Israel should take note of that. Maybe Israel didn't think their little strikes could be that accurate. Well, you want to be careful, Israel, you know.
Our great American forces are prepared for anything. Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well. I salute the incredible skill and courage of America's men and women in uniform. Far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior.
Very, very hard to listen to. Talking about Iran's destabilizing behavior since 1979. What caused the problems in that whole region happened way before that, Donald. Try 1948. When the British decided to give that land over there to a bunch of fucking crazy maniacs, excuse my language. There's been no peace in that region since. That's when the problem started. Iran. Did Iran invade Iraq, Syria, Libya, Yemen? Does Iran support Saudi Arabia? No. I think we know who's the biggest terrorist in the region, and it ain't Iran. And we're supposed to have trust in our, you know, our intelligence sources and everything else when it comes to these wars. Oh, this guy, you know, there's an imminent threat. Oh well, if you say so. We have the same thing over here by these, you know, mildly right wing commentators and radio hosts that we have over here when it comes to Brexit and, you know, comes to immigration. There's like a mild pushback on it. Nothing too serious. They don't want to be branded racist or white supremacists, you understand. And they certainly don't want to mention Jews. Even Tucker, I mean, he doesn't mention Israel. I mean, it's amazing to me how this whole thing could have rolled out in the last 10 days. And on mainstream media, there hasn't been one, not one mention of Israel. Not one. But anyway, You would think it would be part of the equation. I mean, it's not all Israel. I mean, it's the deep state and the military-industrial complex and largely the corporations and a global imperialism for what's known as the United States. It's not really the United States, is it? I mean, the United States has been taken captive. It's been possessed, which is a pretty good word considering we're dealing with a satanic criminal syndicate. But between the two interests and Israel's interests when it comes to are more the cause, in my opinion, when it comes to that region than anything else. And not a mention of Israel. Not, it doesn't even enter into the equation. But we have the same thing over here when it comes to, you know, right or mildly right wing radio hosts and commentators and things like that. Who buy into this BS that, America had to protect itself, you know, and its intelligence, you know, said that, and you know, that there was an imminent threat. Yeah, really? Oh, well, it must be true then. Are these the same intelligence services that told us that absolutely, ostensibly, the West was vulnerable to imminent destruction at the hands of Saddam Hussein with his weapons of mass destruction? Those same intelligence services, yeah? That's right. The same intelligence services that tell us that Assad, while he's on the verge of winning the war out there in Syria and ridding himself of Western-backed mercenaries and proxies with the help of Putin, decides to, at the peak of his success, decides to gas his own people with chemical attacks. Oh, yeah. And then they prove to be BS as well. And it proves, the conspiracy theorists get proved later when the information and the truth comes out, that no, it wasn't Assad at all. What a surprise. Those same intelligence services. Those weapons of mass destruction. You know, I was thinking today, The weapons of mass destruction, they seem to have gone the way of the prophecies in the Bible, in the New Testament, about the Jews being returned to that land. Same kind of thing, really. And it's by a lie perpetrated by the same people, the Zionists, of course. Well, and they're, yeah, well, and they're Christian morons who never read their Bibles for themselves and are just unwitting pawns in the Zionist regime and their lust for blood and land in the Middle East and hegemony in that region. They went over there for inspectors and international inspectors went over there looking for these weapons of mass destruction. They didn't find them. Why not? They weren't over there. And if you, and I looked myself in the Bible for these passages that quoted the scriptures, quoted these prophecies that prophesied the Jews being returned to that land. And what did I find? I was looking for one. Just give me one. But like the international community was looking for even one weapon of mass destruction. Well, guess what? Like the weapons of mass destruction, when I looked in the scriptures, it's not in there. So what the hell are we doing in the Middle East? Very good question. I mean, does anybody... they don't even pretend. They don't even offer a reason now. The West and America's been there so long now, it's just kind of established. Well, that's what... I don't know. That's what... You know, they don't even feel like explaining it anymore. I mean, there is a few interests for Iraqi oil. But really, it's you know... when you consider the bloodshed and the amount of money that the American taxpayer spends on funding the biggest military monster in the world, what the hell do they get for their money? They send their soldiers out there to fight for freaking Jews. It's an abomination is what it is, the whole thing. And then you have to listen to this. It's exasperating to listen to this BS about Iran going back to 1979. As I said, go back a lot further. And even if you take it from 1979, it wasn't Iran that bombed the hell out of Iraq, Syria, Libya, and the whole region. Sorry, Donald, it wasn't Iran, it was the United States, or what's called the United States, because the American people don't want these wars, do they? But it doesn't matter if it's George Bush, whether it's Clinton, whoever the president is, whether it's Obama, or whether it's Donald, despite him gaining huge popularity by in 2016 by running on getting out of these wars. I think Trump is probably trying to do as little as possible in the warmongering front, being aware of that. But, you know, he's not the guy in charge at the end of the day. He's just a puppet. A less puppet than Clinton, but nonetheless a puppet. And it doesn't matter who the president is. These wars continue. I've done a video on the old plan for Greater Israel, making sense of the Middle East, because the whole thing makes no sense unless you understand the Greater Israel plan and Israel's desire and maniacal desire for complete hegemony in that region. It's all there in their own writing.
The Middle East and beyond. Those days are over. Iran has been the leading sponsor of terrorism and their pursuit of nuclear weapons threatens the civilized world.
Bullshit.
We will never let that happen. Last week, we took decisive action to stop a ruthless terrorist from threatening American lives. At my direction, the United States military eliminated the world's top terrorist, Qasem Soleimani.
Right, okay, that's hard to listen to. For anybody with any sense and anybody who knows anything, I'm sure you would agree that's difficult to listen to. Because I had a little bit of problem at the start of the show for 10 minutes with my Wi-Fi, I'm not going to play the rest of that, but you get the picture. It's the same old tropes, the same old narrative, the same old BS about how they've protected Americans, how Iran are such a great threat. I mean, oh yeah, and you've completely nullified any might or power or threat coming from Iran now. Yeah, you've taken out one guy, as important as he is. It's as if they think that just Iran's got no one else. I'm sure someone else has got a good military mind in Iran. You know, it's so patronizing for the Americans. It's so patronizing for anybody to listen to it. Anyway, in global research, quite left-leaning, but when it comes to foreign policy, and it's just like, you know, I find myself, the only, you know, even reading a Guardian article over here, when it comes, I'll say this for the left, generally, and I don't know whether this is just their stance because it's, you know, something to be admired and a moral thing with them, or whether it's just an anti-Trump, anti-Johnson thing. I'm sure if they were in power, because Clinton, when he was in power, or she was in, he was in power, and Obama, when they were in power, the warmongering continued. So these hypocrites would probably, once they're in power over here and it wasn't Johnson, they would do the same. I don't know. Maybe Corbyn wouldn't. But people that you wouldn't agree with on anything else, politically and culturally, etc., like the Guardian newspaper and a lot of the Labour Party and a lot of newspapers over here, you find yourself agreeing with them because they don't want war, and they want this thing de-escalated. And they, people largely, right across the spectrum, in America, right, left, centre, whatever, don't want these wars. They've been going on for the 20 years now. Just endless wars and presence of troops in the Middle East. For what? Nobody knows. They don't even pretend to explain anymore. But Global Research is quite a left-leaning website. So obviously, I don't like all their articles, but when it comes to foreign policy and the Middle East and stuff, I think they're excellent. Okay, so Paul Craig Roberts writes for them. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts will be familiar to some of you, I'm sure. Readers are asking my take on the Iranian retaliation and Trump's response. I think a deal might have been arranged between Washington and Tehran via a third party. The Iranian attack resulted in no U.S. casualties. Thus, it serves both Iran's purpose of retaliating and Trump's purpose of interpreting the Iranian retaliation to be, in effect, a stand-down. Possibly Trump will apply, quote, crippling sanctions, unquote, as a cover for withdrawal from most of the Middle East. Well, we can only hope. Iran wants the U.S. out, and Trump's original intention was to withdraw before Russiagate forced him to stay. Thus, both Trump and Iran have a common interest in U.S. withdrawal. Although the Iranian missiles killed no one, they did demonstrate to Israel that the Iranian missiles, well, that's what I was saying earlier, that the Iranian missiles have pinpoint accuracy. As Israel is a small land area, the accuracy of Iranian missiles possibly has changed Israel's mind about provoking a war. If Israel also stands down, perhaps the crisis is over. So this is actually the first article I've read, even on a non-mainstream website like this that's anti-war. This is the first article I've read since this whole thing began. Maybe I'm just not looking in the right places, because I know if I go on social media, there'll be lots of people talking. I shouldn't say, E. Michael Jones, who I interview, he was on Press TV, which is, I think that's pretty much Iran's state broadcaster, like the BBC. It's the equivalent of BBC here, or Sky, or Fox News in America, or CNBC, or something like that. And E. Michael Jones was on there talking as honestly and forthright as if I was interviewing him. Talking about the three rich Jewish oligarchs which are causing the problems. Paul Singer, Sheldon Adelson, who's the other guy? Is it Bernard Marcus or something like that? So he didn't pull any punches in Iranian TV. He laid the blame straight at the foot of Jewish oligarchs, Zionist oligarchs. And, of course, you get the huge lobbying power of AIPAC, of course, which has most of the Congress in their pocket. So, Paul Craig Roberts here is mentioning in Israel here. So, it's just an assumption. He goes, when he's talking about, it'll at least demonstrate to Israel that the Iranian missiles have pinpoint accuracy, and it'll possibly have changed Israel's mind about provoking a war. So, this writer assumes that it's Israel is wanting the war. These missile strikes may change their mind, may give them cause to pause and think twice about it. On the other hand, the neoconservatives will be unhappy. They see chaos in Iran as a way of spreading instability into the Russian Federation. The military-stroke-security complex will be unhappy as U.S. withdrawal would downsize their profits. U.S. oil interests will be unhappy to lose the Iraqi oil. Trump is in a better position now to stand up to these powerful interests. The war scare has introduced a sobering element. Republican senators have urged Trump to de-escalate. Russia, China, and Turkey have spoken against any escalation. The Barr-Durham investigation of the role of the military-stroke security complex and the Obama regime in orchestrating the, quote, Russiagate hoax, brings a sense of vulnerability to the CIA, FBI, and the Obama Justice Department. Therefore, Trump possibly can turn the situation to the advantage of his original aim to withdraw from the Middle East and restore normal relations with Russia. The original aim there, he's talking about presumably, you know, before the whole Russiagate thing and before he actually came to power, which was to basically withdraw and get out of these countries. And I think Trump probably, if he had total say in the matter, I don't think Trump wants to be in these wars. He doesn't see the sense of it, but, you know, the guy's just a puppet at the end of the day, even if he's less of a puppet than some others. So Trump's appalling decisions and explanations are largely a product of the vulnerable position he has been put in by the 3 years of the CIA, FBI, and the Democratic Party efforts to remove him from the presidency. Now that vulnerability has shifted to his opponents, unless they physically assassinate him, Trump may yet prevail with his peace agenda. And again, presumably he's talking about Trump's original campaign promises to get out of these wars. Interesting article, actually, that one. And again, I think this is the first Guardian article I've read probably since the last display of US-Israeli hubris. This is probably the last article in the Guardian that I've actually thought, you know, was worth reading. Guardian article says, as the president slurred ritualized abuse of Iran and pleas to NATO, we saw the US's days as world hegemon dribbling away. Donald Trump does not strut the world stage as Augustus triumphant. On Wednesday, he might have commanded that, quote, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. We will never let that happen, unquote. But as he slurred at his auto cue, he conveyed only ritualized abuse of Iran and pleas to NATO for help, a NATO he once majestically derided. I sensed we were seeing the US's days as world hegemon dribbling away. Even Trump's Republican ally Mike Lee called the Iran briefing, quote, the worst briefing I've seen, at least on a military issue, in my 9 years in the Senate, unquote. All empires outstay their declared purpose, let alone their welcome. All end messily. The operative word is all. By they Roman, Napoleonic, British, or Soviet. I'm sorry, be they Roman, Napoleonic, British, or Soviet. All are vanquished not by superior power, but by self-delusion and geography. The British Empire had neither the right nor the need to invade far-flung parts of Asia and Africa. It was defeated by them. The US has claimed the right to intervene in theaters and diverse as South America, the Far East, East Africa, and a portfolio of Muslim states. Justification varies from retaliation and deterrence to, quote, self-defense and the installing of democracy, and a huge contributor to the Islamization of Europe with the displacement of these people and then being funneled up into replacing the white Western Europeans. Because this is grounds for a lot of, and some of them genuinely are, but even if they're not, the waters are severely muddied because these wars are over here. And then we are sold the BS through the leftist Jewish media. The propaganda about these refugees are victims of war. So thank you, Donald, and thank you, Obama, and thank you, everybody in America, the presidents in America and the war machine over there for essentially contributing significantly to the demographic and cultural obliteration of ourselves here over in Europe. Because it's like you can't be one or the other over here. If you're not a supporter of Zionism, then all the anti-Zionists think that you must be, you know, I don't know, like a kind of a Tommy Robinson supporter or sort of nationalist type who, you know, waves, you know, Zionist flag at their rallies. So you must be, you know, as I say, a Muslim hater. Not that, you know, even Tommy Robinson is, I mean, they brand him that way, and to some extent he is, and people do wave Zionist flags, but at their rallies because they're a bunch of idiots. But, you know, that's how people pigeonhole you. If you don't like the Europe being flooded with Muslims and other third worlders, then you must be, you know, xenophobic, and you must be, you know, Islamophobic. And as I say, You'd be put into that category of a Tommy Robinson supporter who waves a Zionist flag at their marches they go to. And if you don't like Zionism, if you don't like Zionism and what that rogue state over there does, then you must be, you must be a terrorist or a communist or something. If you don't support Israel, you're a terrorist sympathizer or whatever, a lover of all things Muslim and Islam. I mean, no, I don't like either. I'm sick and tired of our whole political and cultural discourse and discussion being dominated by Jews and Muslims, with the former being responsible for whatever problem we have with the latter, both with their right wing displacing of people in their wars out there and their left wing media and propaganda and BS and their politics that have open border policies here and everyone's welcome and immigrants welcome and all the rest of it. And they actually, like this writer does, they actually point to the British Empire and the imperialism and, all this stuff as a reason why we should sort of allow them here. Yeah, so because of Zionist interest destroying the whole Middle East, apparently white Europeans should just embrace their demographic and cultural obliteration. Anyway, notwithstanding, this article does have some good points. The British Empire had neither the right nor the need to invade flower-flung parts of Asia and Africa. The US has claimed the right to intervene in theaters as diverse as South America, the Far East, and the portfolio of Muslim states. Justification varies from retaliation and deterrence to, quote, self-defense and the instilling of democracy. The US's intentions have often been noble, have they? But good intentions camouflage power projection. When your drones can kill anyone anywhere, the temptation is insuperable. If you think you can police the word from a bunker in Nevada, why not try? Again, this guy lays all the blame at the foot of, America can, so why wouldn't the empire corrupt and everything else? Not a mention of Israel and, why this carnage is happening where it is. It just happens to be the neighbors of that new state over there since 1948 when all the trouble started. Trump's instinct was once that of a classic American isolationist. I'd still maintain that he probably would be, but you can't be the American president and not wage war in the Middle East. As he reiterated to Congress last February, great nations do not fight endless wars. The hour has come to at least try for peace, unquote. He was announcing withdrawal from Syria and more tentatively from Afghanistan, yet he is still there. He's still there because the Zionists want him to be there, and every time Trump makes any serious noises about leaving, suddenly Assad decides to commit a chemical atrocity in his own people. The US is fighting six wars. Iraq, Yemen, Somalia, and Libya. None has any conceivable relevance to his own security. Well, quite. Hear, hear. Imperialism sticks to politics like glue. Even as common sense screams withdrawal, staying offers the populist an opportunity for glory. Well, you say that, but again, no one, and I don't believe, apart from the prostitute media, as Gerald Celente would call them, and not even all the prostitute media, only your typical sort of Fox conservative listening, supporting Christian middle America Fox News listeners, excluding Tucker Carlson, are the only people that think that this would be a good idea. America wanted Trump to be and to come into empire in no small part to get out of these wars. It was thus that British ministers in the 1950s and 60s fought to hold on to Aden, Kenya, and Cyprus. Today, Boris Johnson craves the machismo of a totally pointless carrier force in the Far East. Some imperial ghost seems to sneak down from the India office attic to stalk Downing Street at night. 20 years of Western interventions in the Muslim world have rested on two falsehoods. One is that terrorism poses an existential threat to Western democracies, grotesquely underrating their inherent stability and grotesquely overrating the actual threat itself. The other is that intervention can remedy such a threat, can enforce obedience and even democracy in victim states. I remember watching right-wing U.S. think tankers trying to administer Iraq from Baghdad's green zone in the months after the 2003 invasion. By what right? Alien intervention in the internal affairs of sovereign states is immoral, specifically banned under Chapter 1 of the UN Charter. But, you know, you're talking about Israel here. I mean, these people are just a mad dog. Doesn't matter how much Israel condemn them, you still get the mouthpieces coming out saying that Israel is a victim and they're picking on Israel. They're all wrong. It's just like all those countries that expelled the Jews down through history. They were all evil anti-Semites. I mean, this is the kind of psychological warfare that has been waged against it, and it's an effective one because literally everyone gives the Jews the benefit of the doubt. The vast majority of them see Jews as victims in history. Never, or very rarely, is it examined or discussed their behavior in history, which eventually leads to the reaction they get. No, apparently all those European countries are just evil, immoral, racist, stroke anti-Semites, which rid themselves of Jewish influence in their countries. Nothing to do with their attacks on and hatred of Christianity and the undermining of their of the culture and the degeneracy that comes with them. That ban was supposedly overridden by Tony Blair's much-cited responsibility to protect civilian populations. But as the casualties mounted, protection became mere cover for ceaseless wars of Western aggression. That is why the UN is all but absent from these interventions. As George Bush said, quote, I leave the UN to lawyers, unquote. The issue is not whether we can any longer plant the flowers of democracy in fields we have drenched in blood. It is how to get the hell out. The sight of Trump ranting against Iran and inflicting on it yet further sanctions was like the final scene of a tragic opera. He seemed a man trapped. Two American presidents played a significant role in the demise of the British imperialism. Roosevelt told Winston Churchill that the US's involvement in the Second World War was strictly on condition that Britain dissolved its empire. The US would not defend it. John Foster Dulles, who was later US Secretary of State, said in 1945 that his was, quote, the first colony to have won independence, unquote, from Britain, and it expected others to follow. This advice was fiercely echoed in 1956 by Dwight Eisenhower, appalled at Britain's invasion of Suez. Iraqi politicians this week joined the anti-imperial cause by demanding that American forces be withdrawn from their soil. All Trump could do was refuse, despite having previously pledged to do just that. Even in its hour of insecurity, 17 years of American occupation had left Iraq just desperate for it to end. It knows it must live at peace with its powerful neighbor Iran, and this requires it to be no longer to be a tool of American presidential machismo. Likewise, Afghanistan must find its own accommodation with the Taliban and with its neighbor Pakistan. As for Britain, its 20-year creep under Washington coattails by Blair, David Cameron, and now Boris Johnson is humiliating and expensive. It should be offering the advice of an old and honest friend whose history has no parallel the US's predicament. Whose history has so paralleled the US's predicament. Instead, it offers only the cringe of a lackey awaiting a reward. In this case, an implausible post-Brexit trade deal. Well, that's part of it as well. But again, there's some serious lobbying going on. And by British politicians as well. I mean, conservative friends of Israel, Labour friends of Israel, blah, blah, blah. As empires crumble, stuff happens. It could yet be that Trump's killing of Qasem Soleimani jolts every participant in this game to realize that it is just not working. The US president is a man of emotional and unpredictable responses. He could indeed pull out of Iraq, leaving it to separate from Kurdistan and to do a deal with Tehran. He could leave Syria to its fate. Syria will be fine. And they'll all be fine. Everybody, I've said it before. I mean, America don't need to stay in the Middle East. Just get out. That's the best thing you can do. Just go away. You are the problem. And stop supporting Israel and let Israel have what's coming to it by its neighbors there. If they want to wage war, let them wage war at their own expense and not at the expense of the United States taxpayer and the United States soldiers and the United States blood. Israel first, Donald should have ran on. He could leave Syria to its fate and leave Afghanistan to the tender mercies of Islamabad. As for Britain, At last, it could have nothing whatsoever to do with this mess. I thought it was a decent article by Simon Jenkins from The Guardian. As I say, I probably would, very little. When it comes to foreign policy, I could agree, like this article on with the Guardian, on some of their journalists anyway. I mean, I think a lot of them are well-meaning and some of them are misguided. Many of them, of course, in our media over here are just simply towing in the agenda. They're just, if they're not Jews, they're just in the pockets of the Jewish media and toe the line for their little careers. As I say, Gerald Celente calls them prostitutes. I must get Gerald Celente back on again and have a chat with him about trends and what he predicts going forward for the economy. But it looks like, praise God for now, that a more serious situation developing can be avoided. And the two articles I read have shown that, you know, there could be some good come out of this, that maybe we could get out of there. But as I'm more cynical, I think any attempt to withdraw will be met with another false flag attack, something perhaps more severe carried out by Mossad, which will really unite the American people in going to a war with Iran. And all that happened in Iraq and everything else will ultimately be forgotten. That's the most cynical take on it. I hope I'm wrong. I'm sure all of you are listening. Hope I'm wrong as well. But they really are a bunch of maniacs, that lot over in Israel. So the Mossad are capable of anything. As I say, I firmly believe the Mossad carried out 9/11. So if there's any proof needed that they're capable of anything, there you go. Right. Okay, everyone, we are done here. As I say, I lost about 5 minutes at the start of the show. It's good to be back here on revisionmedia.org. Do look out for interviews coming up with, I will try and get Gerald Celente on again. I will get E. Michael Jones on again. I emailed Jeff Gates, who wrote the book, Guilt by Association, How the Israeli Lobby Took Control of U.S. Foreign Policy. And I've interviewed him before. That video was deleted. I mean, I have an increasing amount of videos that get deleted on YouTube. I think I'm up to about 10 videos now, which is a shame, you know. But he hasn't gotten back to me. Another quick story. Let's end on a positive note. At least over there in Brazil, they've got some moral and testicular fortitude, because they have, in response to Jesus being portrayed as a gay person on this new Netflix show, Brazil have told Netflix to remove it, to remove the film depicting Jesus as gay. Not so much here in the West with our homosexual loving, Christian hating, degenerate crap hole that we are increasingly living in the West today. But as I say, at least there is some moral fiber and fortitude there. And over in Brazil, they have demanded and been successful that Netflix film will be removed in Brazil, at least. Again, we shouldn't be surprised. Netflix is run by a bunch of Jews too, so shouldn't be surprised at the hatred of Jesus Christ and the disrespect of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't do that with Muhammad, would they? No, they wouldn't. Anyway. All right, so I'll be back next week. What are we? God, man, we're into the 9th of January already. Okay. So I'll be back on the 16th. And I will try. Let me see if I can get Gerald Celente on next week. And as I say, I hope I get Jeff Gates on as well. Even though that video was deleted from YouTube, I'll try and get him on again. I did email him. So until then, folks, stay safe. And let's hope that sense prevails in the coming days and weeks with this Iranian situation. Until then, take care and God bless.